First Samuel chapter 30. Now, David has had a bit of a low point in his faith and he's run away to live in Gath of the Philistines. Well, that was the town where Goliath had come from, whom he'd killed. And he'd killed hundreds, thousands of Philistines, and therefore this was very risky to go and throw himself on their mercy because he was frightened of Saul. And so eventually they said, look, there's a war with the Israelites. Will you come and fight with us? Yes, yes. But then, of course, he was going to have to fight against his own people and kill Saul. And he knew that was wrong, and he'd refused to do it twice before. So he goes out to fight, but then the leaders of the Philistine armies say, look, we're not going to have this David, the Israelite, with us in case he turns around and fights on the other side. So he's spared from that. And God gets him out of the problem he got himself in. And his men, along with him, go back. But after 2 days, David and his men arrive back at Ziklag. But the Amalekites had attacked southern Judah and attacked Ziklag. They'd burnt the town right down. And they'd taken all the women away captive. No one had been killed, but they had taken everyone with them when they left. When David and his men arrived, they found that the town of Ziklag had been burnt down. This is where they were living. And their wives, children, sons, daughters had all been taken away by the Amalekites. David and his men wept and did not stop weeping until they were exhausted. They obviously thought that they'd lost all their beloved family. David's two wives, Abigail and Ahinoam, had been taken away. So David was now in a great problem because his men were very bitter with him because they'd lost their children and they were threatening to stone him. But Yahweh his God encouraged him. David said to the priest Abiathar, bring the ephod here. And Abiathar brought it to him. Now in the ephod there were these stones, Urim and Thummim, that would flash out yes or no answers. And so David asks, shall I go and chase after the Amalekites? Will I catch them? And the reply was, go after them. You will catch them and rescue those taken captive. So David and his 600 men started out. And when they arrived at the little river Besor, some of them remained there. David continued on his way with 400 men. The other 200 had been too tired to cross the river, and so they remained behind. Those men who were with David found a lad, an Egyptian, and brought him to David. They gave him some food and water, dried figs, and 2 bunches of raisins. And after he'd eaten, his strength came back. He hadn't eaten anything, nor drunk anything for 3 whole days. David asked him, so who is your master, and where do you come from? He replied, I'm an Egyptian, the slave of an Amalekite. But my master left me behind 3 days ago because I fell sick. We had raided the territory of the Kerethites and the Negev, the southern bit of Judah, and the territory of the area of Caleb, and we burned down Ziklag. That's, of course, where David and his men had been living. Well, can you lead me to these raiders? David asked him. He replied, I will do so if you swear to me by God that you won't kill me, nor give me back over to my master. And so he led David to them. Well, poor young man. He was a long way from home. He was an Egyptian, and he was a slave, and his master wasn't a very good master. He fell sick, so his master just left him in the desert to die. So it just shows how awful it was to be a slave. But you see how God worked through a boy. A young boy. I mean, you remember Joseph was sold as a slave when he was 17 years old. He was maybe a teenager. And so God works through young people. All the time you're seeing this in the Bible. So he leads David and his men to where the Amalekites were. And they were lounging around all over the ground, eating, drinking, and celebrating because of all the loot which they had captured from the Philistines and from Judah. The next day, at dawn, that's when they weren't expecting it, David attacked them. He fought them until the evening. And he destroyed them, apart from 400 young men who got onto camels and got away. Nobody else escaped. So David rescued everybody and all the things the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. Not a thing was missing. David retrieved the sons and daughters of all his men, and all the spoil which the Amalekites had taken. And he recovered all the flocks and the herds, and his men drove all the livestock in front of them, and they said, "This is David's spoil." Then David returned to the 200 men who had remained by the brook of Besor, who had been too weak to go on with him. They came to meet David and his men, and David went up to them and gave them warm greetings. But some bad men who had gone with David said, "They didn't go up with us, so we're not going to share the spoil with them. Let them just have their wives and children and be content." But David replied, "Brothers, you cannot do that with what Yahweh has given to us. He is the one who gave us victory and saved our lives against the Amalekites. So we cannot do what you say. Everyone must share alike. Whoever stays behind with the stuff will get the same share as he who goes into battle." And David made this a law, and it has been followed in Israel to this day. So those who are weak and can't go and do all the physical stuff, those who are not so strong, they get the same reward as those who can do it. And I think that's lovely, that that's how God wanted it. That it's not of works, lest anyone should boast. When David came back to Ziklag, he sent some of the spoil he'd taken to his friends amongst the various towns in Judah with the message, "Here is a gift for you from the spoil which we took from Yahweh's enemies." He sent it to the people in Bethel, to Ramah, to the people in the towns of Jatir, Aroa, Sifmoth, Eshtemoa, and Rakal, to the clan of Jeremiel, to the Kenites, and to the people in the areas of Hormah, Bodashan, Athak, and Hebron. He sent it to all the various places where he and his men had at one time been. Well, I think he knew what was going to happen. I think he had this sense that Saul now was going to die and he was going to become king. And yet, of course, he'd been in exile away from Judah. He'd been living with the Philistines. So he's trying to get friends by giving them presents of all this spoil that he'd taken from the Philistines. So although David did trust in God, he also did do sort of what was humanly quite smart as well. And this is the big challenge to us. To what degree do you just trust in God to govern your life and guide your path? And to what degree do you do what is humanly sensible and wise? But in the end, he did have faith. And in the end, it must be of faith, because it is all of grace and not of works, lest any of us should boast. And the men who aren't physically fit enough or strong enough to go to the front to go and fight, they're still going to get rewarded just as much as those who do.